You're listening to Spokespeople. Hi, podcast listeners. This is Sarah.
And this is Becca.
And we co-host the Spokespeople Storytelling Events.
This is our podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
The story you're about to hear, told by Miranda Mikowitz, came from our August 2012 show, Lost and Then Found.
Enjoy!
Good. Okay, our fourth storyteller for the evening is an East Bay native who ran off to the East Coast for college, then quickly scurried back to California. She currently works in a nonprofit office and teaches sailing, though not simultaneously. And she is enjoying co-op life in Oakland. Please welcome Miranda Mikowitz.
Okay, hi everybody. Is this actually amplifying my voice at all? No. Okay, great. I'll project then. So this is my first time to Spokespeople, and Becca managed to convince me to also tell a story here for my first time at Spokespeople. So I'm a little bit nervous, especially after I listened to all the backlogged podcasts today, which raised the bar. The story that I'm going to tell tonight begins with a photograph of me when I was about 2 years old that actually looks not unlike the way you see me right now. I'm sitting on a stool. I'm wearing a black velvet dress. I have more of a bowl cut than I have right now, and I'm wearing white pearls, and there's a microphone with a boom in front of me, and I'm posed like this in the picture because I'm singing into the recording system that my father has set up every song that I know. And this picture we have several copies of. One is framed at my mom's house, like on the mantelpiece. And then there are also several that are inside of the baby book and stuff like that. And I'm about 2 years old. It's right before my parents got divorced. And it's one of my mom's favorite pictures of me. And as I got into adolescence, whenever we would see this picture around, my mom would say, "Oh, you know, we really got to get your dad to find that tape recording of you singing all the songs that you knew when you were 2 years old." But my dad was not the most prompt responder to requests like that. And so he never got around to finding it. And the summer when I was 19, my dad passed away. And we still hadn't found this tape. And so I was the only kid. And so it kind of fell to me to do a lot of the logistics. I emceed his memorial and had to keep it together and all that stuff. And I never really thought that I had been very close to my dad. You know that thing when you're a kid, it's hard to know how your parents are as adults, you know? Like, you know how they are as your parent, but you don't really know them. And I'm just starting to get to know my mom as an adult. But I never really felt like I got to that point with my dad. And so having his memorial was a really great chance to see a little bit into what his life had been like before I was part of it at all. And he had friends from high school and college and after that who came to the memorial and told a bunch of different stories about him, including my dad was a character. I'll paint this picture for you a little bit. But the first story that got told at his memorial was a friend of his from high school who told us about how my dad's attic bedroom had been rigged into a sort of Rube Goldberg-like room where when his alarm clock went off, his shades went up, his coffee started percolating. I don't remember what else. Those two are the ones that stuck out. There was also the story about how when he was driving cross-country on his motorcycle one time, he's from New Jersey but moved out here in the 70s, and one time he was driving across the country on his motorcycle and he met a girl in Nebraska, and she was enamored of him, and he promised that he would come back and get her and bring her to California, but he couldn't do it because he was on a motorcycle at the time. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, he shows up again with a VW Bug and takes her back to California. And finally, another story that was told was actually down at the Berkeley Marina, which has a lot of significance for me because my dad was a sailor and I grew up sailing with him. He was part of the Cal Sailing Club down there. And one of his buddies from the Cal Sailing Club got up and told this story that went something like this. Yeah, one time me and Paul, we were out sailing and, you know, we were drinking a couple beers. We had a couple joints and Paul was all relaxed and he got up on the bow of the boat when we were coming back into the dock and he stepped off the boat to get onto the dock and just went straight down into the water. Which was very typical of my father. Every year I could count on getting him a new wallet for Christmas because he would always sit on the edge of the boat with his wallet in his back pocket and it would fall into the water. Anyway, after he passed away, I started on the monumental task of cleaning out his house. Now, my dad, you know, in that child relationship that I had with him, I spent a lot of time in my dad's house. Mainly I spent a lot of time in the upstairs bedroom playing video games while my dad was getting high. But I also got to go camping with him. He took me sailing all the time. He was really encouraging of my independence. And he also taught me a lot about doing stuff with my hands and make, you know, skills that had to do with carpentry. He was a chimney sweep, and so he was really good at fixing things and making new things and customizing things that weren't the way he wanted. One time he got a space heater, and he was really sad that he couldn't see the flames, so he got his blowtorch or something out and cut a hole in the side of the space heater so he could see the flames. So anyway, he gave me a lot of positive encouragement and really... tried to help me be independent. And one of the things that he always had that helped him with all of those things was he always had his Leatherman tool on his belt. And so after he passed away and I started looking through his house, the two things that I was really interested in finding were that tape of me singing every song that I knew when I was 2 years old and his Leatherman tool, because those were the two things that seemed the most indicative of who he had been to me as a parent. My dad was a pack rat, and so when I started to clean out his house, we found about a hay bale sized of blankets in the attic. We found a huge collection of beer steins. We found, he had 4 or 5 of the huge, 20-gallon fish tanks, all of which had no life in them but algae. And I had to siphon them with my mouth out the window. And that was disgusting. And so I was like starting to be a little bit resentful of my dad, which felt like I wasn't supposed to be because he was dead, but like he had all this shit, right? And so we got the house mostly cleaned out. He had a housemate. And so we needed to get the house cleaned out for her to be able to continue living there and take another roommate and everything. But the landlord said that it was okay if we left the basement till a later date. I had to get back to college, and so it wasn't a priority. But his basement was, like, he really could have been on an episode of Hoarders. As a child, I had never seen all 4 walls of his basement. He had tall piles of the most random crap you've ever seen that had little narrow aisles between them. And it was always a little bit of a health hazard, perhaps, to go into the basement. But whenever I needed anything, I'd say, "Dad, I really need to go get some kitty ears for my Halloween costume." And he'd say, "Oh, I think I have some of those in the basement." And he'd disappear down to the basement for several hours and reemerge with not only the requested item, but also a bubble machine and a book from the 1960s about how to tie knots and all of these other possibly useful things that ended up just cluttering my life. And so I wanted to wait a little while to tackle the basement, and I let it sit for a couple of years until the landlord contacted me again and said, you know, we really need to get the basement moving. The current tenants would like to be able to have that space. And so I'm like, shit, okay. And I started complaining a little bit to my coworkers about the task that I had ahead of me. And one of my supervisors, Kathleen, said, you know, that sounds like a really huge project and you shouldn't have to do it by yourself. And that's why you have a community. Like, ask for help and your community will come through. And so I was like, I really don't like asking for help. I'm an independent woman. I don't want to do it. But I still asked the rest of my coworkers if they would come up to Berkeley with me for a day and help me start cleaning things out, which many of them did. And we found just a litany of the most ridiculous crap you've ever seen. There were two antique cash registers, several boxes of Hustler magazines. There was a old time refrigerator covered in brick linoleum. It was like, I could go on and on and on. But we didn't find the Leatherman ever. But my friend Sarah, as we were cleaning things out, did find the tape. I had alerted everybody, you know, this is something that I'm really looking for. So don't throw it out in the 6 dump runs that we make or in the 4 loads of stuff that we take to the hazmat facility. Cause I'd really like to have that tape. And so she let out a shriek. She said, I found it. I found it. I found it. And it said, Mira Sings. It was like April 20th, 1990. And, so I put it in a box with all the other stuff that I was keeping. And a few weeks later, I took it to my mom's house and we listened to it in the living room with my mom and my stepdad and my little brother and my girlfriend. And there was me at 2 years old singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and Fuego Zaka and This Old Man. And also all sorts of other classics. And there also was my dad offering encouragement, reminding me of the words when I forgot them, and reminding me to always speak up and stay close to the mic. Thank you.
Thanks to Miranda for sharing that story and to the Actual Cafe for providing the space.
And thanks to Ian Rautzer for doing audio production and to Sarah Woden-Schwartz for her last-minute emergency printing.
If you liked this story, join us for our live monthly show in the San Francisco Bay Area. Learn more by visiting spokespeople.org. That's spokespeople.org.
Or find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Thanks for listening.
Yay!